Welcome to The Skim, presented by Stellar. From reality TV to social media, Hollywood to the small screen, we've got you covered.
The Skim is your go-to for a deep dive on all things pop culture, so you'll never be scratching your head when the WhatsApp is lit with gossip again.
I'm Adele Miner.
And I'm Bronwyn O'Neill.
And before we get started, thanks as always to our sponsor, HeyU.
HeyU, as always, is keeping us glued to our screens with the latest and greatest reality TV. Speaking of which, did you catch the news?
Oh, do you mean the return of Below Deck Mediterranean? Yeah, I'm actually dying to get stuck into it.
I knew you genuinely would be, Adele. The new season has just dropped on HeyU and it's a must watch. The iconic Captain Sandy Yeon is back in charge along with Stu's Natalia and Kyle.
And there's a big crossover this season viewers are going to love. Toomey, the fan favourite from Below Deck Down Under, is joining the crew as the Chief Stew. It's going to be a season full of drama, luxury and unforgettable moments on the high seas.
Below Deck Mediterranean Season 8 is streaming now on HeyU.
So this week we're talking about something that is a conversation that we've had privately ourselves before. It is the change in concert etiquette in the last couple of years, and something that we have both noticed at gigs that we've been to recently.
Because we're elderly and I like to chill at a concert. It's not like my goal to be at the barrier right there in front of the musician. I just want to have a good time. Like, I paid a lot of money to be there, and people have gone buck wild. I will say, I think I told you this privately, Adele, but I was at a concert once and someone rested their arm on my shoulder so they could steady their phone as if I was a tripod, and I'm speechless. Like, what was that behavior about?
Yeah, well, this is kind of it, isn't it? Like, just, I have noticed since concerts have come back after the pandemic, the vibe, the energy, the behavior of people has been quite different. And I don't want to scapegoat young people here, and also we are still young. We're like 27 and 28, so we're not old.
Yeah, we're
but
not,
we are kind of OAPs at a lot of concerts, to be honest. And yeah, I don't want to scapegoat like young people for this, but I have noticed a link between younger people and at concerts and their kind of strange behavior, maybe, I would say.
I call it Wattpad behavior. Like, they think the singer is going to notice them and bring them backstage and fall in love.
Which in some... Maddie Healy. In some circumstances, I guess, that happens if you're at a 1975 concert, but... Yeah, but I also had that in my head when I was like 16 going to see One Direction at X Factor.
You thought,
like, I shaved all over,
like a seal,
like a seal for no reason.
Yeah, you did think they were gonna make eye contact with you. They guys, I'm so sorry to tell you, but they can't see you in the crowd.
They don't see you. Yeah,
they can't. They might be able to see you wave or whatever. But having these, also like the obnoxious signs, I know now I'm just like really grumpy about the whole thing, but I know we both went to see Harry Styles and Slane, and there was a section where he went, okay, everyone put their signs up, and he read them. But I think for a lot of concerts, people are bringing signs and just having them up the whole time. Even in indoor venues, I feel like indoor venues don't bring a sign.
Yeah, because I feel like the artists never even really recognize signs at like smaller gigs anyway. Unless you have like a tiny sign on like an A4 piece of paper, like in the Taylor Swift music video, and you just like hold it up and you're like at the barrier, you know, and you're not really obstructing anyone's view. Because like as a small person, as a short person, I can barely see anyway. So if someone has a big sign in front of me, like it's game over and I've just paid €100 or whatever for no reason, and it's infuriating.
I was at a gig this week, and it was in the Olympia, which is a tiny venue, and the singer came out and started singing, and I genuinely could not hear her because people were screaming so loudly, and I was like, oh, am I too old to be at gigs, like just at any gig, because what is going on? But then by like the third song, I was like, do you know what, I'm gonna sing too, like this aggressively, and it was really cathartic. So maybe these kids are onto something.
Yeah, maybe they are. I think like for me, what I've just noticed is it's like they don't behave the right way at the right times. And this is not absolutely everybody, obviously, but I was at a gig earlier this year and there was a couple of girls behind me, young girls, like teenage girls. And once again, we've all been teenage girls and we're very excited and like they're very valid in their feelings. Mm-hmm. But I just noticed that they kind of were like shouting and screaming at times when everyone was kind of quiet. And then at one point I just kind of got up to like dance by myself. I wasn't seated, so I just got up. And they remained seated for some, and a lot of people were up dancing, but they were still seated. And I was like, do you not know? I don't know. Maybe it's just like teenagers now, we were all locked down for 2 years, and now they're just starting to go to concerts a lot of the time. Because I was kind of a teenager when I started going to gigs. And maybe they just like didn't learn the ropes, or they're learning the ropes through the wrong places, like TikTok, where they're learning from maybe like American gigs and how people behave around those, which is just not really how it's been done here. And I think Ireland is now experiencing like the Americanization of concerts,
and also the TikTokification of concerts, where people are camping to go to gigs, which I don't know. I've never, like, I've seen people camp to get tickets. I've never seen people camp so they can get to the barrier. So they can get the best video so they can put it on TikTok.
But that's the thing. It's to get the best content possible, which I just find really weird. If I'm at the front, obviously I'm going to take pictures and videos a little bit, but like, I want to take it all in with my eyeballs. I actually, for once, only ever once, I was barrier at a gig, which was in the academy, so it was hard to get to the front. I got there like half an hour before the door opened or something, but it was for a band that have now sadly broken up, but they're called the Maccabees, and they're like one of my favorite bands, a little indie band, and me and my best friend were like obsessed with them. We got like barrier at their gig, but we just walked in and walked up to the front, and there was no alcohol served at it as well, so it was like easy enough to stay up there. And we also were only like 16, so we weren't drinking, but I was definitely at the front, and I had a little disposable or a little digital camera, and I was like taking pictures of all the singers and stuff on the stage. But I feel like I put it away and I enjoyed it, and still, like, that was what, 12 years ago, and I actually remember it vividly. But I think if I watch the whole thing through my phone, I maybe wouldn't remember it the same way. I don't know. Or if I was more concerned with like, is that a good angle? Will that make me go viral? I don't think my memory would be as solid as it is now.
And also sometimes, because I'm never a barrier, I like look down and you just see like the first three rows of people are just stock still watching with like their phones instead of like dancing and singing, because they don't want to get, they want to get a good camera angle, and surely that must be really annoying
for totally people. I think I saw a video of like one of Harry Styles's gigs potentially in America, I think it was, and people were like, why have you queued for like a day or two to be barrier, and everyone in the front row was just like standing still, like not even a smile on their face. But also you would be exhausted by that point.
Oh,
like you can't really eat properly, you can't go off to the bathroom unless you have someone there like keeping your spot. They get handed out bits of water and that's kind of it. Like, no, not for me.
And then people are fainting left, right and centre, which we are going to sound really mean here, but we have also discussed how we hate when people faint because it ruins the they're like, we have to stop the concert.
It ruins
now.
The vibes.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, we could have got three more songs now, but like Melanie had to camp out and faint. But they faint because they've been there for like you said, like 2 days. I saw people like on TikTok being like, I've been at Slayin since like 3 a.m. so I can get barrier. Girl, Jedward just walked through.
Doll. Jedward's at the front.
Like, I'm so sorry. I saw Jedward and it was kind of the highlight of the gig for me.
I actually didn't see them. I was fucking nosebleed at that gig. Like, I was like on the hill at the very, very top of the hill.
Exit,
I had a good time. To be fair, the sound wasn't great up there. I could hear myself and everyone else singing more than I could him. So that's the only thing that was a bit of a downer. But no, I'm an at the back kind of person at gigs. Like, not even the middle. Like, I will be where the sound, the speaker is, you know, and there's like always like the speaker in the middle of things. Like, that's generally where I stay, because I need to go to the bathroom all the time. Every 10 minutes I need a bathroom break, and I need to pick it right on the right songs. Because I have the smallest bladder in the world. And if I'm drinking at a gig, and if I'm drinking beer, I obviously need to pee like all the time. So I have to position myself in a place where I'm like, right, the bar is there, the toilets are there. This is like logistically will take me the least amount of time, and I'll miss the least amount of music. Mm-hmm. So that's my survival tactics for every gig ever.
Especially I dehydrate myself ones. So
do you?
Yeah, I just am like, I'll have like a drink before they come on, and then I'm like, I'm done now.
Really? I love to have a little drink when they're on. I'm not even a big drinker, but just adds to the vibes, you know.
I'm just like aggressively, like, in my head, my head is TikTok. I'm like, I need to see every single second of this. I need to be like in the best position, and I'm really short, so usually the best position is not very close to the stage.
No,
because people are bumping
all
into
over you.
Also, on gig etiquette, have you noticed the uptake in people just treating gigs like
as a night out?
Yeah, not even that, but like they just are stood beside you having a chat, and I'm like,
what are you doing? Like, they're just out at the pub. Yeah, 100%. There was one gig that was really bad this summer for that. It could have been actually the 1975 in St. Anne's Park. It was just bizarre. People on the phone, people having conversations. And I'm like, why did you buy this ticket? Why did you pay to be here? Because even if I've got free tickets to something, like, I'll listen. And if I'm going to have chats, I kind of like move away. I don't want to ruin it for everyone else who are like real fans. Really, really weird. I don't understand that at all. But on the drink side of things, like, have you ever had a gig that you've gone to that you got like too drunk at and don't really remember things?
No, because I went to a gig when I was quite young, I think maybe like 16, 17, and I saw a girl being like, she didn't even get into, it was in the Three Arena, she didn't even get into the arena, she was escorted out of the queue, and I just like sat there being like, God, tickets are really expensive to waste that money, so yeah. I don't.
I did it once, and I said I'd never do it again, accidentally, but it was like the whole, you know, sneaking in your drink, and like, I was young, I was only like 18, I think it was Arctic Monkeys years and years ago, and got like wasted and was kind of like stumbling around and stuff, and then the next day it was like, I actually don't really remember the majority of the gig, can't remember what songs they played, and I was like, I'm never doing that again. So from then on, my rule at every gig is just that I have like 2-3 drinks, I'm just a bit merry, and then that's it, because I want to remember it.
On the other side of gig etiquette is getting tickets, which I think has changed very aggressively in the last year.
Yeah, 6 months even. It's been, I feel like that's been a really recent thing in Ireland. It's war.
The trenches. I've never, so I got Taylor Swift tickets, woo.
Yay.
But I swear to God, I was having like heart palpitations for the whole week. I was like, I had a game plan, like a game plan to get tickets, and it was the most stressful experience.
You know that
of my life.
Meme of your man, is it from It's Always Sunny? Yeah. And he has like equations. Yeah,
that was
you
me.
Getting your tickets.
I had to do an interview for work 10 minutes before the concert tickets went on sale, and I remember being like, okay, thank you, bye, and like there was no chatting. I was like, goodbye, and getting into the queue and the trenches. Oh my God.
Well, tickets are like, you have to have a code for a lot of concerts now to get tickets, which is a new thing. There was always pre-sale, but now it's just like basically only pre-sale with your codes, and then it's gone. Because I kind of wanted to try and get Taylor tickets, but I never even got to the point of general sale, did it?
No, I don't. I understand obviously they're like trying to stop scalpers or whatever, but it obviously didn't work because in America they were scalped. But and I know it's a bit different in Ireland, but I got not waitlisted. I was allowed to participate in the sale. And then when you get that email, it's like, this does not guarantee that you get tickets.
Yeah.
Which is another insane thing on top of that. Like, it's so stressful. And also she kept pushing, like, well, Taylor Swift herself, but the promoters kept pushing out when the tickets went on sale. So it was originally like, you signed up and then you would get your pre-sale, or your, not even pre-sale code, your like code to get the tickets a week later, and then the tickets went on sale the following week.
I don't understand any of that. Like, that is so confusing to me that I would just, it's too much effort that I'm just gonna like not bother.
And Olivia Rodrigo did the same.
Yeah, she did the same.
And I was waitlisted, so I didn't get in to get tickets, but I got pre-sale because she's playing the Three Arena and I'm with Three, so that's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
And then you go in, and I actually didn't even get tickets for that because I was like 2,000, I think, in the queue, and they were already gone by the time I got in.
Crazy. Where is she playing? The Three Arena. Yeah.
Now, I know insanity. They like obviously do, I think it's like 10% or 15% for pre-sale, so it's not the whole gig, but it's crazy.
Yeah,
and then
no,
to see all those,
it's the Hunger Games, just trying to get tickets for things these days.
I think it's like we weren't allowed to go to concerts for 2 years, so everyone has to go to every single concert, and I have been to every single concert, to be honest. Like, I,
well, there's been good people playing in Ireland as well, yeah, at the last while, so like people want to, you know, go to these things. And like you said, we were locked away for so long that it's like, oh my god, I'm in a field full of people or a room full of people. I actually got COVID from a gig though last year, yeah, in Three Arena. I'm pretty sure, obviously I can't exactly track, but I was at a gig and then 3 days, 4 days later, whatever, had COVID, so watch out.
And like ticket prices have gone up so much. So, like,
well, that's, yeah, that's another thing. That is another whole thing. I don't go to loads of gigs, but I was meant to go to Arctic Monkeys earlier this summer and then they cancelled. And but then they were like, okay, don't worry guys, we're going to play like Three Arena, and they're doing like three dates, whatever it is, between Dublin and Belfast. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get the tickets, I want to go. And the tickets were like €110.
For the Three Arena. Nothing wrong with the Three Arena, but like,
there's nothing wrong with it, but it just should not be that high. No. I don't think the concerts, the tickets for Marnie Park were that high.
No.
So I don't understand what that works at all. And I was kind of raging about it, but I just had the tickets anyway. You know,
Did you buy them?
I got them. Like, okay. And I'm like, okay, right, it's done now. But maybe if I went back in time and I knew they were going to be that much, I maybe wouldn't have bought them. But I just think that's an obscene amount of money to pay for a gig in...
Well, you know how I feel about that man, so...
Alex Turner, yeah, I know. All for him to just sing in, like, slow motion.
Yeah. I'm not an Alex Turner fan. I've no beef personally with him, but he just gives me the ick. So I would not be paying €110.
I know, I am paying €110 to get the ick, but it'll be the last one anyway. But, like, if concerts are going to stay at that price from now on, if that's, like, the baseline, I bye-bye gigs, because there's no way I can be affording that all the time. Even if you go to, like, 3 or 4 a year, it's, like, €400. Yeah. Like, that's a lot of money. Tickets used to be, like, feckin', like, €30 when I was younger.
I remember the first time I saw Ed Sheeran, I walked from my school down to like the Ticketmaster kiosk or whatever, do you know the way like shops would have them back in the day, guys. They don't have them anymore. I wandered down, sauntered, and I think I paid €25.
That's insane.
And I went to see Ed Sheeran, and then like a couple of years later, I remember being very vividly, because I was on the bus on the way to college, and I burst into tears because I couldn't get tickets, and they also were like €8, I think.
It was totally affordable. I went to Electric Picnic like 10-ish years ago in like 2013, and I was also in school at the time in like sixth year, and me and my best friend had been saving to buy our tickets, and we were getting early bird tickets, and we got them in like April-ish, March maybe, so it was like not that long before the festival was happening, but the lineup hadn't been announced yet, bar maybe one or two acts. And the deal was, if you got early bird tickets, you didn't know who the acts were, but you paid less. So the tickets, we walked to our kiosk in a local like shopping centre to buy the tickets, and it was like €250 or something for like a 3-day weekend early bird ticket. And now I've just paid €110 for like a 3-hour gig.
People have paid €250 to see Taylor Swift. It's crazy. And then like this whole thing of like VIP tickets, and then they just like pump up the price. And what are you getting for, like, I originally thought like if you bought VIP tickets
you meet the person.
Yeah, it was a meet and greet, and you were like flown around.
That's what I assumed.
Like it was full VIP, like I wanted to be
you're on their jet plane. Like you're part of the crew now.
Thought you were gonna be in a box or anything.
I think you get a lanyard or something, and like
a tote bag.
No, there is no way.
I went to see Sabrina Carpenter in the summer, and her tickets weren't that expensive. I think I paid like €30 for them. But the day before, I got an email from Ticketmaster being like, do you want to upgrade your ticket to VIP and you get like blah blah blah, and I was like, sure, like I'm gonna buy a t-shirt anyway when I'm there.
Yeah,
so like let me see how much VIP is, and you get like a t-shirt like and a tote bag and a lanyard or something. And I was like, okay, grand. Looked at the price and it was like €130, and I was like, no, I'm just gonna buy my little t-shirt, which was like still merch is extortionate,
€50 whatever,
but
still less.
But like also girl mats, like if you don't buy merch at a concert, I think you lose money.
Because it's, you can invest in it. It's
I'm actually wearing a merch t-shirt right now.
No, I love a bit of merch. I don't know, the whole thing has just gone a bit mad.
And even if you don't go to concerts, you can just watch the live stream on TikTok because it's fine. Someone's going to live stream it from 12 different angles.
Yeah, 100%. But I guess what I want to know is like how much, I would love to know how much say the artists have on ticket prices, VIP tickets, like that, this kind of those arrangements. Because I don't know, because Matty Healy, once again, always like throws a spanner in the works, because he has said kind of before that like he and his band want to make it a thing that they don't ever really overcharge fans for tickets, because he was like, we are working class people. He's an Nepo baby, but like, he's like, you know, we're working class people, we come from a working class place, and he's like, we play for working class people, and I want like kids, teenagers, to be able to save up their pocket money and go to our gigs and be inspired and go and start a band. And like, fair play to him, because, and genuinely, like, I go to a lot of 1975 gigs, and I've been a fan of them for like 10 years, and I don't think I've really paid much more for their tickets in the last like 10 years. They've always been about 40 to max 60 euro.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever paid, I've been to the 1975 twice because Adele indoctrinated me into the Maddie Healy cult.
Welcome.
But I went twice and I don't think I paid more than 50 euro.
Yeah, 55 maybe with tax.
Yeah.
And I saw them in like the Olympia years and years ago, and they were like, 40 euro for a ticket or something. Like, and it stayed that way. So that just makes me wonder, because I just assume that artists have absolutely no say and no control over that. And maybe that is true depending on the artist. But then when you see other bands charging double and triple what other people are, it's kind of like, oh, do you have some say? I don't know.
And there was like, I'm gonna get this wrong, my mom tells me the story all the time, but it's like kind of an older rock and roll band recently like made venues or Ticketmaster or someone refund people, because they were like saying they only wanted to charge like, let's say, a 50 euro for their tickets, and then they realized that they were like, yeah no worries, like 50 euro, but they were actually charging them like double that, so they made like them refund the money, because they were like, no, we made a promise, and you can't just do that. And on the other side of things, like in America, there's that, I don't know what it's called, but you know the way they can like pump up prices, so like if someone wants a ticket in like the standing area, they can like keep pushing up the prices until it's like unbuyable. Like I saw like Olivia Rodrigo tickets in America were going for like 700 euro,
and like there will be someone that there'll be a young person that will ask their parents to pay that, you know, and the parents will do it because they want to make their kid happy. So like
apparently they can ask the artist, I mean, I don't know if it's like the promoter or the artist or their team can ask for them to turn off that setting, basically, that pumps up the prices, and obviously a lot of artists
choose not to
do that, and then you're paying like, I paid I think 80 something euro for Olivia Rodrigo tickets, which is again a lot of money, but I have a job and I'm a grown up,
And I feel like that's kind of standard these days anyway. Anything over the 80-90 is when it gets like, ooh.
But like 10 times that in America is crazy, especially when her demographic is much so younger than us.
Yeah, it feels like kind of a bit predatory, you know. It feels like those poor young people are just being taken for a ride.
And then you've Miss Swift, who's coming to the cinema with her concert.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Where does it end? The line kind of doesn't get drawn anywhere. I'd pay probably to go see the gig in the cinema, because it'd be cheaper than
It's there. 19 euro and 89 cents for a ticket.
For a ticket, yeah.
That's a lot of money. I know.
Nah, I'll just YouTube it.
Just live stream it.
I'll live stream it.
TikTok already, like, I watched one, like, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched one night, and I was like, and it was so dystopian. I was like, what's going on? Like, why are these people? And like, they didn't sing. They just had their phone like perfectly at the stage for 3 hours of a show. Probably more. I think they start from like when they
should be getting paid for that, for their services.
Yeah, thank you, guitar. Like, you know, you found your sword.
Videographer.
But God, it's mad. Like, this whole thing, and then not only do you have to pay for tickets, you then have to pay for a whole outfit to go to the concert. You have to like cosplay.
Make your own outfit. Yeah. Yeah, it literally never ends. Are you making your own outfit for it?
I have no artistic abilities whatsoever. I'll whip something out. I have cowboy boots, so I'll wear them not much else. Before we finish up, thanks again to our sponsors, Hey You. The new season of Below Deck Mediterranean is streaming now.
Captain Sandy is back along with some new faces, including Below Deck Down Under's Toomey. The stage is set amidst the picturesque Italian Riviera and historic Genoa, Italy.
But it wouldn't be Below Deck without its fair share of drama. With unprecedented staffing changes, visa issues, paperwork mishaps and unexpected shakeups, Captain Sandy and her team are in for a rollercoaster ride.
And when you add in boat manses, boat breakups and the clash of personalities, you've got a recipe for some high seas entertainment.
Head to heyu.com to stream it now. See you next time.
Bye.